And now, our Bible study today takes us again into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. In our last study, we looked at the first 13 verses of this chapter. Now we shall take up at verse 14 and read through to verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that parable. In our last study, we were looking at the parable of the virgins. Now here it's the parable of the Lord and the servants. Now, in the parable of the virgins, the whole thing there was a matter of being prepared, being ready for a great coming event. In plain words, we pointed out there was the need for reality. Now, if it was reality that was called for in the parable of the virgins, here now, in the parable of the Lord and the servants, it's a matter of responsibility. And so, therefore, we must face up to the great challenge of responsibility. And again, I emphasize that no matter in what dispensation we live, this principle should cause us to be faithful. Now, here are 3 simple little steps that we might take in studying this parable regarding the Lord and the servants and the talents they received. Number 1, the servant's ability related to the talents he received from his Lord. And then we must view the servants and their attitude to the talents. Then last of all, the servants and their accountability. So in plain words, we're looking now at the ability of the servant, the different attitudes of the servants, and the day of reckoning that we'll call the accountability of the servants. Now notice this. The Lord does not expect more than our ability can produce. Now this man here is not working for salvation, that's obvious. It's not a matter of working in order to be accepted by God. The fact of the matter is, in this particular parable now, it's the Lord's return that's going to test the servants. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. Now this man, the master, the Lord, he's going away for a given time, going into the far country. Now you'll notice that in the parable of the virgins, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. Here in this particular parable, the Lord has gone away, the master is absent. And something is going to take place during the absence of the master. It's a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, these men, while their master is away, are going to be busy. They're going to trade or they're going to work, and they're going to be busy with what the master gives them. Now, I noticed this, that he didn't give them all the same amount. According to verse 15, he gave 5 talents to one, and he gave 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to a third man. And then we have this statement, to every man according to his several ability. And having distributed those talents, he took his journey. Again, I want to emphasize that the servant's ability seems to determine how much responsibility his master or his lord places upon him. Let me emphasize this again. The Lord does not expect more than our ability can produce. And so to one man he gave 5 talents. Another received 2, and another received 1. Now it's obvious that the man with the 1 talent could not possibly do as much work or produce as much as the man who received the 5, nor yet do as much as the man who received 2. But the Lord didn't expect him to. You see, he gave his money or his talents to his servants because he understood exactly the measure of their responsibility or their ability. He knew what they were able to do. And so he gave out his goods to his servants according to his knowledge of them. Then we're told something about the attitude of the servants. You'll notice in these verses that 2 of them traded, while 1 trifled with the Lord's trusted talents. I notice that first of all, we're told about the man who got the 5. He that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Now he must have been a good, intelligent worker. He knew how to do business. He took what the Lord gave him. He traded with them. And he doubled them. And so by the time the master returned, and the man would have to restore the talents, then, of course, he had doubled them up, and his 5 had become 10. Now, you don't do that by lying in bed. You know that. You don't do that by loafing around. A man who's going to increase the goods, as this man did, he's going to be a busy man. He's going to put his right foot forward. He's going to do the right thing at the right time. I remember some years ago, sitting in the office of a businessman. he began to tell me something about his business and one of the men that he employed on his sales staff. He said he didn't know what he was going to do with them for the simple reason he gave them the opportunity to come on to his sales staff. He wasn't too sure that the man had the ability, but the man thought he had, and so this good businessman was willing to give him an opportunity. But unfortunately, he was not bringing in the business. And so one day they had to face one another in the office. The man wanted more money. He felt he was not being paid enough for the simple reason there was another salesman there who was being paid about twice as much as he was being paid. So he was complaining. But the master of the business, his boss, told him straight as he showed him the books that he was only bringing in a very, very limited number of orders as compared with the man who was making a much higher salary and obtaining a much greater bonus. So he complained again that he was not being given his rightful share, until his boss man said to him, "I'll ask you one question. At what time of the morning do you call on your first customer?" So he told him exactly when he left home and when he reached his first customer. He said, "Look, when I was commencing this business and building it up, I was my own salesman. I didn't wait in my bed or in the home until it was time to start. I was off in the morning and had traveled 40 or 60 miles and was sitting at the door of the first customer waiting on him opening the door, and I was first in." He said, "That is how I built up this business. I was busy. I was active." You see, he was a good worker. He was a good salesman. He knew how to do it. And so therefore, he was willing to tell others how to do it. I think of that when I come to this particular parable here. A man got 5 talents. The master gave him them, and the master knew his ability. And when the man got his talents, notice his attitude. He traded with them. He that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. Now, they weren't his to begin with, remember. They belonged to his master. He was only given them in trust. And what was given to him in trust, he used. And he traded with them and made them other 5 talents. He doubled them up. He was a good servant. But notice the attitude of the other man. There was another man who received 2. And it simply says he also gained other 2. In plain words, he did the same with his 2 as the other man did with the 5. See, the Lord knew his ability, and so therefore he gave him 2. He thought that was sufficient for him, and it was. And he took the 2. And he also traded. And he traded with them because they were given to him in trust. And he was successful, and he was faithful, and therefore he gained other 2. But now the focus seems to be turned now on the third man, and I want you to notice his attitude. He that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, here's a man who simply says, "I only received 1, the other fellow received 2, and that other man received 5. If he could give 5 to one and 2 to the other, why has he only given me 1? I'm certainly not going to do anything with 1. So what I'll do is I'll go and hide the thing. I'll bury it in the earth. And it will be there for him when he comes back, and he'll be welcome to it." Now, I want you to notice then the attitude of this man. In effect, he simply said this, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to be anybody's servant. If that's all he can give me, he can get it back when he comes. Now, I'll tell you this. I've often wondered how this fellow spent his time. There's no record of him doing anything for his master. There's no record of him doing anything for himself. It seems to me that he wasted his talent, and he wasted his time, and at the end, when he had to face the master in the day of reckoning, he had accomplished nothing. It was a wasted life. I wonder, what is our attitude to the Lord who has placed upon us some measure of responsibility? Now, he knows our ability, and remember, he doesn't expect any more from us than what we're able to produce. But how do we act towards the talents he has given to us? Are we willing to trade with them because he has entrusted us with them? Or are we simply going to trifle with these things? You know, there's not a thing we've got in this life, but it's of the Lord's mercies and the Lord's blessing. It's all of the Lord that we're able to draw our breath every day. There's not a blessing we enjoy, but we can trace it to the Lord. The Bible says this, that God is the Father of lights, with whom there's neither variableness nor a shadow of turning. And in that verse it said, he is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Yet, how have men treated the gifts of the Lord? Then again, what about the talents the Lord has given you? Has he given you the talent of a clear mind? Has he given you the talent of sound thinking? Well, what have you done with it? Have you given him your mind? Then again, the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. What the Lord has given us, we should be prepared to use in service for him. What is man's chief end? That used to be a regular question. In fact, it's something that we had to answer when I went to school. That used to be some of the things that were asked. No, I'm not talking about some special school or some Christian school. I'm talking of the ordinary day schools. We had to learn these things. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God. Are people glorifying God today? What about you, dear listening friend? What are you doing with the talents that God has given you? Are you squandering them? Have you allowed your mind to be occupied by the enemy? What about that life that God has given you? How much of it have you given to the Lord? What about your talent? Are you using your talent simply to build up for yourself things that you will lose or things that you will leave behind you? Or are you using all the talents God has given you for his glory? Notice then the servants and their attitude. Two of them traded, but one of them trifled with the Lord's trusted talents. Are you trading or trifling with what God has given you? But now, a great thing here and a very important thing, the servants and their accountability. There comes the time of reckoning when the Lord returns. Again, I emphasize, the main lesson in this parable is certainly that of responsibility. In the parable of the 10 virgins, it was readiness and reality. But now here it is responsibility. And again I remind you that no matter when we live, No matter in what dispensation our lot is cast, men will require to give an account to God. So this principle should cause us to be faithful, because the day of reckoning came for these servants, and the Lord is teaching that in the kingdom of heaven the day of reckoning will come. And when the Lord returned, he came and he reckoneth with them. My friend, do you realize the day will come when you and I will have to face our God? Oh yes, there's a verse in the Word of God, and you've heard it over and over again, prepare to meet thy God. We've got to face God. Yes, even the atheist will have to face God, and he'll have to bow the knee, and he'll have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes, we've got to prepare to meet God. We'll have to give an account for things done in the body. And so therefore, the Lord came and he reckoned with them. He reckoned first of all with the man to whom he had given the 5 talents. And when he came, listen to what he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Why, there was a lot of joy there when he restored the talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice the word the Lord uses here, thou hast been faithful. You see, the Lord expects us to be faithful. Faithfulness should mark every true servant. Now then, because he was faithful over 5 things, over 5 talents, and gained other 5, he said, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now I often wonder, did he have a lot of joy when he was busying himself in the job? Perhaps he had a lot of burdens to carry. But now he's entering into the time of joy. Then along comes the man to whom he had given 2 talents. And then he came and he says, Lord, you gave me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And watch what the Lord said to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over of many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He said the same thing to the man with the 2 talents as he said to the man who got the 5 talents. See, both of them were faithful. Faithful in the measure of which the Lord put responsibility upon them. The one with the 5 gained another 5, the man with the 2 gained another 2, but the Lord was good. And he says to them, thou hast been faithful, thou enter now into the joy of thy Lord. Now, then comes along the man who trifled. This should reach all our hearts today, should cause us to think now. And when he came, he said, well, you know, I knew you were a hard man, etc., etc., etc. So he said, I was afraid. And I just went and I hid the talent in the earth. He wasn't going to lose any sweat over it. And he said, there it is, it's yours. You can have it back. Now the Lord said to him, if you knew these things, then what you ought to have done was put the money someplace where it would have gained more. Then when I come back, I could have received mine with usury. Now he turns and he says, now look, take therefore the talent from him. It wasn't his in the first place. It was only loaned to him. Take it back. Give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So the 1 talent is handed over to the man who has the 10. He gets the other 1. Now watch the principle that's laid down. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, the day of reckoning is coming. There are those who will be profitable, and those who will be unprofitable. There will be those who will be marked out as being faithful, and the Lord shall cause them to enter into his joy in the kingdom. There are those who have been unfaithful, unprofitable, and they're cast out.